Support for NPR comes from this and other NPR stations, and from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation.
News from NPR is made possible in part by a grant from Champaign-Danville Overhead Doors, offering pinch-proof doors, keyless digital entries, and lifetime manufacturer's warranties. Champaign-Danville Overhead Doors, serving businesses and families with professionally installed doors and automatic openers since 1959 in Ogden, Illinois.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's November the 2nd, 2005. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And later this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. In agricultural news, the pressure is on in Washington, D.C. to lower the cap on farm program payments. New money has been allocated to the Katrina effort, this time to put barges in place upstream on the Mississippi River system, and the crop insurance program is said to be plagued by fraud. We'll have details of these stories shortly, and then we'll take a closer look at the cash grain market, repeating some calls last week suggesting the flat price low had been made for the harvest season. And don't forget, Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City will join us just after the bottom of the hour to discuss this warm weather in the Midwest and other hot spots around the agricultural globe. Stay with us for this Wednesday edition of your Closing Market Report.
Hi, this is AM 580 Agricultural Director Dave Dickey. Join us this Thursday evening at 7 o'clock for a free AM 580 Agricultural Outlook panel at the Mattoon Public Library. Panelists for the meeting include Kurt Kimmel of Grain Field Marketing, Clayton Pope of Clayton Pope Commodities, and Mike Zuzalo of Risk Management Commodities. Come on down, bring your questions. There's no reservation required. That's at the Mattoon Public Library this Thursday evening at 7 o'clock. We hope to see you there.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
In Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. December wheat contract at 313, off 4 for the day. The March futures off 4.5 at 328.5. December corn finished at 196, down 3 quarters. The March futures at 210, down 3 quarters. And May corn at 218, off a penny and a quarter. December corn for next year, unchanged today, 243 and a quarter, the settlement price there. November soybeans, 573.5. They were down 1 for the day. The January's at 585 were a penny and a half lower. The March contract at 593, down 1.25. And next year's November contract in the bean pit at 609 and a quarter, unchanged. December bean meal, 173.90, up 40 for the day. December bean oil down 18 at 22.84. From the Mercantile Exchange, feeder cattle finished at 115.52.5. They were up a nickel. December live cattle at 90.30 were up 37.5 cents. And the December lean hog settled at $61.85. They finished the day 95 higher.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened to the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd. Nice to talk to you on this beautiful, sunny day in Illinois.
You know, they don't get much better than this until we get to tomorrow, apparently. What a gorgeous week this is for the first week of November. Tell me about what's been happening in Chicago, and I want to know a little bit about this corn market. It's been pushing into new contract lows a lot. I think all 5 days last week and one Friday before that, and then we're down at a 195 and three-quarter low price for the day.
Well, Todd, the F.C. Stone people, a very respected commodity firm and futures brokerage firm in located in Iowa, came out with this very large production estimate, beating the last USDA production estimate, 222 million bushels, indicating a crop of 149 bushels per acre, production estimate of 11,079 million bushels. Piles of corn like mountains all over the Midwest. Basis levels in the Midwest have improved about 20 cents in the last 10 days. barge freights moving on the river system a little more freely. Railroads are pushing rail cars into the countryside. But still, it's the general talk of this big crop of corn that's haunting the marketplace. CNBC on specials today talked about the high fertilizer prices and did talk about the possibility of farmers planting different crops than corn, possibly wheat and soybeans, talking about high fertilizer prices reducing corn acreage next year, all make up that this the trading range in corn is very narrow, and the farmer is basically completing this harvest. The other adage that I always like to talk about, in August I like to sell out long futures and sell old crop corn and into the marketplace. And in November I always talk about covering shorts and basically establishing new positions. There's always hope somewhere along the line, and the marketplace is telling us that today.
I'd like to deal a little bit with the LDP. If we've got an 11 billion bushel forecast from FC Stone, we're trading near and at contract lows in the December corn contract, yet the cash price basis has begun to come up. LDP in Illinois today, 47 cents. If you haven't finished taking LDP for your harvested crop, should you do that?
Well, it's a tool in the marketing process, and of course this once the farmer has paid the storage rates at the local elevator, there are better deferred bids, and basically on into the July time frame. So there is this tool of if you take your LDP, you can always forward sell your corn in deferred months. Sometimes you just take your LDP and wait for the winter meetings when we basically say, and the surveys are taking by popular marketing services of maybe 1 to 3 million acres less corn. And hopefully there's going to be magic this winter with announcements of additional ethanol plants. All of it adds up, we think, to a stronger corn market at some point in time. Historically, we've waded through these big problems and seen prices rally even under the biggest crop sizes.
And some news we'll hear later on the corn market as well, that USDA putting some money for, I forget, something like $7 million forward to clean up part of Katrina and get some barges moved up to
and,
the...
Barge freight is a big equation in getting higher prices in the Midwest. And, of course, several people feel that another major investment that needs to be take place is more rail cars, particularly west of the Mississippi, to move that mountain of grain there.
And tell me a little bit about the marketplace for soybeans. There's some news about China and what they've been up to.
Yeah, you know, over the weekend there, we did pick the story up that the Chinese government hearing complaints from their farm population about the low soybean prices, basically in the process of buying a million metric tons of soybeans. And it brought back an old memory back in the 70s when Humphrey was questioning a college professor from Purdue University that was going to be a new Secretary of Agriculture about what he was going to do about low farm prices. And one of the things that Butts mentioned was buying cash corn into the open marketplace. He basically scared the corn market up about 10 to 15 cents a bushel on a mountain of corn that we had stored everywhere in the Midwest. And it did accomplish one thing, that the government sold that corn out at a profit when the Russians came to town and bought U.S. corn. Isn't it amazing, a capitalist country like the U.S. and a communist country using some of the same marketing tools that we used 35 years ago?
And what does it say in your mind of ways that producers might be able to take advantage?
Well, you know, one of the things that I think that did bring out in the basic deal, that the price level did rally 8 to 10 cents yesterday in the marketplace. It did cause a ripple effect in all the bean trading capitals of the world. And it did basically cause just a penny lower price level today with this mountain of soybeans and big yields that FC Stone's talking about, even the conversation about more bean acres next year. So, you know, things get priced into the marketplace, and, you know, maybe with soy diesel and good domestic demand, world demand in soybeans, you know, maybe we can work through this you know, big crop of soybeans. And, you know, there's no doubt in my mind that the bean crop is big, and we've been talking about it. But as we talk about it, is that there's always changes in the marketplace and shifts in price cycles, and I think this is one of the things that we have to be alert in.
Off the markets and on to politics just a bit. In Washington at this hour, the U.S. Senate is debating the cap in the Farm Bill, the 2002 Farm Bill, and whether to lower that. And farmers in the Midwest will be looking at their they'll be looking to both their senators and their House of Representative folks to help guide them through this process. Any thoughts on what the cap ought to be?
No, you know, we really, you know, that's a tough question, and, you know, every once in a while I'm glad I'm not a U.S. senator or a congressman here in the Midwest. One of the things that that has to happen is that, you know, we've been fighting this, you know, farm problem a long time, and of course, one of the beautiful things about it is that we did have a fairly good crop, and it does, you know, it's one of the things that we have to take care of is these large boom and bust price cycles, and the farm program does definitely help that in an enormous way.
I didn't think you'd bite on that, and if I were you, I wouldn't either.
Well, I sure don't really want to see anything cut to the farmer because, you know, they're our pals, and they pay a lot of taxes.
You bet. Thanks much, Paul.
Have a good one.
Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens on Wednesday afternoons. By the way, they will not be voting on that Senate amendment that Charles Grassley, you'll hear about this in the news segment in just a moment, has taken up in the Senate. They'll be voting on that not today, but tomorrow. So if you have the opportunity to call and voice your opinion to your senator, please pick up the phone and do that today.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois. Deferred pricing contracts available this fall. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at lincolnlandagrienergy.com.
Taking a look at the forecast from our own Mike Sola for the afternoon. He says, mostly sunny skies yet today. Highs will range from 60 in northeastern Indiana to 74 in west central Illinois. Tonight, Mike says, mainly clear, breezy, lows from 43 in southern Indiana to 50 in west central Illinois. And tomorrow, sunny, windy, and warm. Highs will range from 71 in northwestern Illinois to near 80 in southwestern Illinois.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
In today's agricultural news, according to analysis by the Environmental Working Group, the EWG, half of the government's farm payments over the past decade have gone to just 22 of the 435 congressional districts. Most of those, by the way, are in the Midwest. The group wants the federal government to cut payments to large farm operations and revise provisions that allow some to collect millions of dollars a year in subsidies. The Senate could vote on that issue this week. The group found farmers in 22 congressional districts collected more than half of all subsidies in the past decade. That's about $69 billion. On that note, the Senate earlier today met on the floor to discuss the payment limitation, with time equally divided among the Republicans and the Democrats. The floor debate was managed by Chairman Saxby Chambliss of Georgia. As of about 2 hours ago, the senators were debating an amendment to the reconciliation bill on the floor that would place a hard cap on farm payments at $250,000. The amendment is co-sponsored by North Dakota Democrat Byron Dorgan and Iowa Republican Senator Chuck Grassley. It reflects the same cap suggested by President Bush in his proposed fiscal year 2006 budget. Grassley says the amendment would eliminate the three-entity rule and implement a measurable standard to ensure those people receiving payments
are actively engaged in farming. Grassley says the amendment would lead to about $1 billion in savings. The Senate Ag Chairman Saxby Chambliss during the debate this afternoon said the direct payments would be cut in half with the proposed amendment to further the crop payment limits on farmers.
Lower payment limits are provided in this amendment to reduce direct payments from their current level of $40,000 down to $20,000. So whether you're an Iowa corn farmer, or you're a Georgia peanut farmer, or a California cotton farmer, your direct payments are going to be cut in half in the middle of the stream.
Senators are expected to wait until tomorrow to take a vote on today's floor debate. Elsewhere in Washington, Agriculture Secretary Mike Johanns today announced new steps to free up barges on the Mississippi River in an attempt to reduce stress on the grain transportation system that were caused by Hurricane Katrina. USDA will be accepting proposals on a competitive basis from the industry to help unload barges carrying grain commodities with nearly $7.6 million in funding available for this effort. USDA will not consider offers in excess of $30 per ton. That reflects the current barge freight rates. In order for the barges to qualify, they must have been loaded and shipped to the New Orleans area before August the 29th of 2005, when Hurricane Katrina made landfall. The barges must be unloaded by December the 1st of this year. The goal of the action is to quickly move empty barges upstream to the Midwest. Well, the crop insurance system has been criticized. Federal crop insurance is available to protect producers against losses from natural disasters. But what protects the risk management agency and its private insurers from fraud and abuse? That, according to a recent Government Accountability Office report, absolutely nothing. In 2004, according to the GAO, the crop insurance program provided $47 billion in coverage at a cost of $3.6 billion. That figure includes an estimated $160 million in losses from fraud and abuse. But how can crop insurance fraud be stopped? The GAO report says Congress should consider reducing premium subsidies to those producers repeatedly filing questionable claims. And finally today, the cost of money is on the rise. The Federal Reserve yesterday raised U.S. interest rates to the highest level in 4 years and signaled it could raise rates again at its next meeting. The central bank's policy setting committee raised rates for the 12th time in a row by a quarter of a percentage point to 4%, a move that had been widely expected. Meanwhile, the Farm Service Agency yesterday announced it was raising the interest rate for the 1995 and prior crop year CCC loans to 4%. That's up from 3.875% in October. And for 1996 and subsequent crop year commodity and marketing assistant loans, the FSA announced the interest rate for the loans in November 2005 would be 5%. That's up from 4.875% last month. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Up next, we'll repeat some information you heard last Thursday from University of Illinois Extension agronomist Daryl Good and from our own commodity analyst, AgriVisor's Dan Zwicker, about the cash market and the potential for it to have bottomed not so long ago, on October the 18th, for corn. A series of unique factors combined this season to drive the price of corn dramatically lower. First, the crop was much larger than anyone had expected, some 10.8 billion bushels, the second largest corn crop on record. And then there was Katrina. Nearly all of the corn the United States exports to the rest of the world is shipped through the port of New Orleans. Katrina, the hurricane, messed up the entire U.S. commodity transportation system. Barge traffic on the Mississippi and rail traffic across the Midwest. It meant that just as farmers were harvesting their corn crop this fall, there was no real good way to move that corn from one point to another. And that pushed cash prices down quickly. U of I Ag economist Daryl Good says it may also be the reason an early cash price low has been put into the marketplace.
Because of the extremely weak bases that we experienced in both corn and soybeans, really in the first half of harvest this year, we did see cash prices apparently bottom a little earlier than would normally be the case. Last year with that huge harvest, we bottomed the cash price in early November. It looks like we may have done a mid-October low this year, although all the evidence is not in yet. But we are seeing the bases improve considerably in central Illinois, particularly on both corn and soybeans. So while corn futures on a daily basis continue to put in new lows by a fraction of a cent, we are above the lows on the cash market.
The central Illinois cash bid for corn bottomed October the 18th at $1.63.5. Darrell Good is cautious about calling a bottom in the cash market, but it does appear the transportation system is normalizing, and that should support the price of both corn and soybeans. AgriVisor Services' Dan Zwicker of Bloomington, Illinois, agrees with Good that the cash bottom may be in, but like Darrell Good, he wants confirmation.
I don't know if we've had enough of a rally yet to really say that low that we had here on the 18th is a harvest low yet. I'm for one that always looks at previous highs. The market needs to take out a previous reaction high or a previous rally high, and the previous rally high on that before we made that low here on the was the 68.5. So then we had 68.5, we slid down here to 63.5, so we lost a nickel, and then we came back to 68. So we haven't taken out that 68.5. I think if we'd cleared 68.5, then you begin to start saying that, yeah, maybe we have got a harvest low in place, and that could very well happen yet, over the next 2-3 days.
Dan Zwicker and Darrell Good's comments were both made Thursday, October the 27th. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
The cash price today, by the way, for corn, Central Illinois, $1.70.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Joining us now to take a look at the cash grain market is Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Kay.
Good afternoon to you, Todd.
Well, we heard Dan Zwicker and Darrell Good talk about the cash lows back on October the 18th for the corn basis, the Central Illinois bids. Bid there today at $1.70. You think the low's in for the harvest season?
Well, let me say this, Todd. I think we've definitely seen the lows in basis, but, you know, after what we saw on the board last year, we didn't see the lows till really after the January crop report. I would be hesitant to say that we've seen the lows maybe in the near term, but it could still get lower later on as we go along, depending on how big the crop is.
I don't think you would get an argument from either Darrell or from Dan on the potential for the futures market to move lower than the current $1.95.5 a bid for that December contract. So new contract lows still may be made there. Tell me about the marketplace in your area. Last week you were still plugging away at the corn, and harvesting was continuing at a pretty brisk pace. Just about done there?
Well, I'd say we're not done yet. I'd say 15 to 20% of the corn is still out there. It's just there's just a little late getting in here, and maybe 5 to 10% of the beans. But we've had some. We're just now picking things up today. We had some rain over here, so we'll have some really good dumping days today, tomorrow, and Friday, and then rain coming in again this weekend. So we're getting there, but we've still got a little ways to go.
And your basis level on the beans improved pretty good overnight?
Yes, it has. We improved at a dime yesterday, and all in all, we've improved our corn basis about 12 cents, and beans has come up some, too. So, yeah, the basis levels are definitely getting better, and the farmers are glad to see that. They're locking in the LDPs pretty readily here, because one of these days the basis improvement is going to erode that, and I'm surprised it hasn't already, but there's some good opportunities here to lock that in.
Indeed. And your bids for the day are what?
Corn is 161, cash beans 537, and new crop wheat is 320.
We appreciate you being with us today.
Thank you.
Kay Whitlock is with Terre Haute Grain out of Terre Haute, Indiana. Kay joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Wednesday afternoon. Hey, be sure to tune in not only to the radio station during the day on AM 580, but you can pick up our webcast in the evening if you happen to miss one of the programs right there on WILL.UIUC.edu. Just click on AM and then Agriculture. Everything that you hear on the air, almost everything from the ag side, goes up on our webpage. and sometimes a little extra. So if you want the opportunity to hear something again, you can get that just by visiting WILL.UIUC.edu. Click on AM and then Agriculture. In a couple minutes, we'll take a look at the agriculture weather forecast with Drew Lerner about the weather. And right now comes up your local newscast.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. A state official says former Governor George Ryan ordered him to arrange to lease a truck driver's licensing center from businessman Harry Klein, who was Ryan's host on Caribbean Vacations. Michael Chamness's testimony today was the first to link Ryan personally to the decision. Chamness is now chairman of Illinois' Terrorism Task Force. State Senate Democrats predict Martin Cohen's nomination to run the Illinois Commerce Commission will be rejected by a Senate Appointments Committee tomorrow morning. They say his experience running the Consumer Advocate Citizens Utility Board raises too many conflicts for him to run the commission that decides important utility issues. Most recently, Cohen has been taking heat because he didn't register as a lobbyist for the past 3 years. The Indiana State Police are investigating a Tippecanoe County sheriff's deputy who resigned after admitting he lied about examining a 4-year-old girl reported to be a victim of child abuse. The girl, Ayuna Galvin, died months later from a subsequent attack, and now her stepmother faces death penalty charges. Champaign County's Big Small All campaign kicked off last night in Urbana. Residents met to give their ideas for a better Champaign County. 8 more public brainstorming sessions are planned for November. The next one is Thursday night at 7 at Rantoul Township High School. The ideas generated at the sessions will be prioritized at a community-wide meeting in January. Illinois Auditor General William Holland says the State Department of Central Management Services has dragged its heels and limited access to information. The problems occurred even after executive promised CMS would fully cooperate with auditors, after Holland reported in April that he found serious management problems at the agency. And more than 100 high school history and social studies teachers from around Illinois are expected in Charleston this week. They're meeting at the 26th Annual History Teachers Conference tomorrow at Eastern Illinois University. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM, helping to create a storehouse of possibilities and products from a single seed. ADM, resourceful by nature.
Joining us now to take a look at the agricultural weather for the day is Drew Lerner, the senior agricultural meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon.
Man, it's just a gorgeous day here, and it's supposed to be better even tomorrow. Tell me about the forecast.
Well, it certainly is looking a lot like spring out there. I don't know what happened to winter or even autumn for that matter, but it does look pretty pleasant for a while. We are in a warmer-than-usual weather pattern that will likely dominate through the first half of this month and maybe just a little bit after that. We are not going to be absolutely dry, but we are going to see a very limited amount of precipitation across the area. Now, some areas off to the east in Indiana, Ohio, and parts of Kentucky will probably end up with some rain before the weekend is out. Some of the rainfall over there may run anywhere from a half inch to an inch, maybe something locally greater. And some of the precipitation may spread back across Illinois, but it'll be a lot lighter over this way. We're probably looking at amounts in Illinois probably running up to maybe a short half inch at the most. Most likely it's going to be a quarter of an inch or less. That's all going to occur during the weekend itself. We do have 2 more days of fairly decent weather ahead of us. Maybe some wind blowing around for a while, and that is the only negative factor that I can see. Wind speeds will be kind of gusty this afternoon and may be that way again tomorrow afternoon, and then we'll calm down a little bit. But it's a warm southerly wind, so that should at least feel good for us when we're out there working in the fields. The longer range outlook is suggesting that we will turn colder in the second half of November, so you should make plans for that. Pretty sharp change toward colder weather is probably going to occur certainly by the week of the 17th of November. So that's probably a time period we should keep in the back of our minds. Most likely the week between there, the 14th through the 21st, will probably be a week of transition. Pretty good chance we'll see some significant precipitation across the region and some falling temperatures.
I have an odd question. I don't know whether you can answer this, because anhydrous ammonia has been going on across the two-state region in the northern areas, certainly. How quickly do soil temps come up? There'll be fear that over the long run that if soil temps come up now, that'll start some denitrification nitrification. And next spring, of course, there won't be nearly as much nitrogen available for the corn crop. Do you have an idea how quickly soil temps can come up given the projected high temperatures for the days?
Yeah, they will rise fairly swiftly. Usually the soil temperature in those top few inches of the soil are pretty responsive. Usually lag the air temperature, the average air temperature, by about 5 degrees. So if you think that temperatures are going to be about 10 degrees above average over a week's time, you can probably expect the soil temperatures to rise about 5 degrees during that period as well. So a pretty quick response. If we have steady warm days for a full week, which is pretty probable here, we will see enough warmth that that process will likely take place. The good news is that we will seesaw back and forth a little bit. We'll have some cooler weather coming on for a brief period next week before we warm up again. So maybe we'll interrupt the process just a little bit.
Not much the producers can do about what that anhydrous ammonia they have on already, but they may delay what they've been looking to put on here in this week.
That's right.
Tell me about the rest of the world very quickly.
Well, it looks like Brazil is certainly not much of an issue right now. We do still have some dryness up in the far northeast part of the country. It's in Bahia, not necessarily a major soybean producer, but they do produce a fair amount. The rest of the country is plenty wet, and it looks like it'll probably stay that way now for the next 10 days. In Argentina, we continue to get timely rains. They're a lot weaker than usual, so we're getting by with enough moisture to plant the crop down there, but long-term subsoil moisture is still below average. And all it would take is a few days of very warm and dry weather, and they'd have a problem there. So we want to keep an eye on Argentina. The bias is for a warm finish to the month of November.
Drew, thanks much.
Have a good day.
Drew Lerner is a senior agricultural meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated. And that wraps up this edition of the Closing Market Report. Have a good afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.